So please turn me once again to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 17. Luke 17. And this evening, the Lord help us, we will consider this one verse, a very simple but very important verse in verse 32. Three words only. I'm sure you remember this. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Now, I think that most of you should will know the story of Lot, Abraham's nephew. He was married, and the name of Lot's wife is not named. And you know about his account. We've read very briefly in Genesis 19. Lot's wife in recent years has come to a kind of a modern retelling of Lot's wife by certain interpreters of the Bible. And it can be kind of put into two different categories. There is the nationalist perspective of Lot's wife, and the interpretation goes a bit like this. So Lot's wife was sad at losing her home, and we are to have compassion for Lot's wife because she's a woman who is hard done by. She has a hard life, and she because of her husband's dealings with the angels, that Lot's wife, when she knew that she was going to leave the place, her old home, she looked back with that sense of longing for her homeland, and by looking back, she lost her life, became a pillar of salt. And this view is taken up by a Russian writer, unsurprisingly by a Russian writer, who believe that there's a certain sense of nationalist pride in Lot's wife, and that we should see her with that certain sense of compassion, and that she was one who was truly needed to be pitied. And then you have, on the other hand, another view of Lot's wife, which is the more feminist perspective, or shall we say the more radical feminist perspective, and it goes a little bit like this. So Lot, according to some of these writers, was a coward. He was dragging his family into the desert of all places. And so Lot's wife could not bear to see what was going on with her hopeless husband. And so she turned around, wanting to be faithful to her homeland. And then she became a pillar of salt. Now, those two modern, so-called modern interpretations may sound very plausible and sound very noble to some extent. However, there is one little problem with the modern interpretations, and that is the words of Christ. Remember Lot's wife. Just three words, but those three words are ever so important in our understanding of Lot's wife. And so we will, as we come to this few words, my first point is this: we need constant reminders. We need constant reminders. Just from the first word alone, remember, tells us that we are prone to forget. Okay? We are prone to forget. Yes, even as Christians, we are prone to forget. I've already read earlier in the context of Lot's wife and what happened. Lot and his family were dragged out by the angels and pointed to the place of safety, and we read that his wife looked back from behind him, Lot, and she became a pillar of salt. Now it's very odd. Why did she look back? Why did Lot's wife look back? Now, there's a book in the, well, it's not in the Bible, it's an apocrypha, which is sometimes found between the Old and New Testaments. It's not in the canon, so if you just read it for just to supplement some information. But there's a book in the Apocrypha, which is the Wisdom of Solomon, where he says this about Lot's wife. Of whose wickedness, even to this day, the wasteland that smoketh is a testimony. Obviously it's about Sodom and Gomorrah. And the plants bearing fruit that never came to ripeness. And the standing pillar of salt is a monument of an unbelieving soul. The pillar of salt is a monument of an unbelieving soul. Now, was Lot's wife involved in the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? Now, we know Sodom and Gomorrah were involved in particular sin, which we call homosexuality. I know it's not very pleasant to talk about it in this day and age, but that's what was going on. Not about hospitality or lack of hospitality. We're not going to deal with the issue for now, for today. However, there is no evidence to say that Lot's wife was involved in that particular sin. And in one sense, it's actually good, because it would make it too easy for us to just blame her for that. And perhaps that's what happened in the past, where perhaps in the past some Christians have poured scorn on Lot's wife, saying that, oh well, she was in Sodom and Gomorrah, so maybe she got involved in that kind of activity. And perhaps that's why there's this pendulum swing of pity towards Lot's wife. But like I say, there's no evidence that she was involved in the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. And interestingly, even the Lord Jesus Christ himself didn't give us an explanation of the sin of, or a direct explanation of the sin of Lot's wife. All he did was to remind us, remember Lot's wife. Now we live in a day and age where people are trying to tear down monuments in this country, not just this country, but in the West. You've seen in the last 2 years or 3 years, statues being torn down by the mob, sometimes for not even good reasons. In Canada, you may have heard about churches being burned. People think that by tearing down statues and monuments, that's one way to erase the past. Now, perhaps that's so. Interestingly, Lot's wife, that pillar of salt, is nowhere to be found. Well, there are various more like probably guesswork at best, or places of interest to visit. But realistically, we do not know where Lot's wife's pillar of salt is at the moment. But yet, we have those three words that echoes throughout history. Those three words reminds us, and it should remind us, that we need to know these things, to know why Lot's wife became a pillar of salt. And we'll touch on that in the next few points. The Bible has such a powerful effect. We do not need all the statues of saints and so on. We do not need that, because we have the Word of God. And the Word of God has either directs us to Christ or tells us not to go down the route of sin. Which is why one writer puts it this way: the Bible will keep you away from sin, or sin will keep you away from the Bible. So the Bible has this effect of reminding us time and time again of who we are, the need to come to Christ if we haven't done so already, the warnings of not coming to Christ, and the blessings of being Christians. But it is so easy for us to slip and to backslide. Now, for a Christian, we may not have that terrible judgment of becoming a pillar of salt, but even for Christians to slip and to backslide it brings, there are consequences, even for the Christian. You and me have heard and seen in the last 2 years or so, of very eminent Christians, or at least now professing Christians, who have great moral foes. I need not name names. You know, one of them was up in Scotland, and one of them is in America. And the wake of destruction of such a moral fall, the wake of destruction, not just for themselves, but for all those who were listening to them, following their ministry, buying their books, it creates such a mess. Which is why I say the first point is we need constant reminders. We need this word of God to be the remind us daily of who we are in Christ. And if you're outside of Christ, how you can come to Christ through faith in Jesus Christ and becoming a Christian. So that's my first point. We need constant reminders. Remember. But my second point is this. The madness of a soul that is outside of Christ. The madness of a soul that is outside of Jesus Christ. Now, I've already mentioned that why did Lot's wife turn into a pillar of salt. The oversimplistic idea that she was involved in the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, we can say that that's not the case. But we do have a little snapshot as to what was possibly going on there. We see in the context of the New Testament, in what we've read. In Luke's Gospel, we see in verse 26 and 27, just before verse 32, which is, remember, Lot's wife, we see in verse 26 and 27, the Lord Jesus Christ linking Old Testament events with the end of time. He starts off by pointing out Noah. What happened in Noah's time? Well, simple. Noah listened to him. And it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. The global flood destroyed all of mankind in the time of Noah. You know, in other passages in the letters, that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and he preached for many, many, many years. And they were not only heard the pleading from Noah to repent and believe in God and the salvation that he provides. They were heard him. But we read that they drank, they ate, they married wives. Nothing wrong with that. Eating and drinking and getting married, nothing wrong with that. Well, what was the problem? Well, they didn't listen to Noah. They ignored Noah. They not only heard him, but they would have seen him burn an ark. And they would have heard him say about something that's going to happen, that they need to go into that ark for safety. They wouldn't even know what rain is. For this was the dawn of creation. They would not have known what rain is. Certainly would not have known what a rains of 40 days and 40 nights would be like. But they just got on with their lives and ignored Noah. So there's that. That's one theme. And then the Lord Jesus Christ goes on to the next two verses in 28 and 29. Lot. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now, okay, granted, Lot wasn't a great shining example like Noah, but we read in the New Testament that Lot was a just man, a righteous man. Despite his failings, yes, we know that there are, you can read the account of Lot, we know that it's not exactly a great shining example. Well, none of us can consider ourselves a great shining example for the Christian faith. But Lot was, had his many, many failings. But he was, in the eyes of the New Testament, which means in the eyes of God, he was a just man, a righteous man. And no one took any notice of Lot. Certainly no one would listen to him. Certainly his wife, who listened to him, didn't listen to him for her own salvation, for her own safety. And so what happened? In Sodom and Gomorrah, they were judged in fire and brimstone. Everything was destroyed. Now we know in the end of time, when before the Lord returns, we know that this will be the case even before the Lord returns. We read in 2 Peter chapter 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? It'd be good if people actually asked that question. Where is the promise of his coming? Probably a lot of people are not even asking the question these days. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. So obviously it's a reference to Noah. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now, whatever your view of the end times, I think it's pretty obvious that there will be a day of judgment. And it will not be a flood, it will be by fire. The question now is, if you're not a Christian this evening, are you listening? Or are you going to be like one of those in Noah's time who didn't listen and certainly didn't observe the ark being built, didn't ask the question? Or are you like in the time of Lot, when he was brought out of into safety? Did anyone ask him? Or like his wife who didn't listen to him? Are you one of those who are knowing that there is going to be a second coming of Christ, that you're not listening to what the Word of God has to say about the day of judgment? So, what can we say then about Lot's wife? Was she that nationalist who had compassion for her homeland of Sodom and Gomorrah? Was Lot's wife like a feminist who was dragged out unwillingly by her cowardly husband, Lot? Or perhaps maybe the Lord Jesus Christ has a better insight into her life. And maybe the Lord Jesus Christ, well not maybe, he does, has a better insight into her heart, which informs us that she wanted all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which is not of the Father but is of the world. That's what Jesus Christ saw in her heart. That she wanted this world, her life in Sodom, more than the safety that Lot, her husband, was running towards. She wanted that old life. Just like in the times of Noah, when he was preaching and warning people of the incoming rains, and no one listened. Now perhaps you may say, well, was Lot's wife actually warned about these things? Was she actually told that this was going to happen? Well, I've already read in Genesis chapter 19, in verse 17, it says this: and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, that he, this is one of the angels, said, escape for thy life, and look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Look not behind thee. She was warned. Well, Lot was warned, and I'm sure she was there, and she would have heard this. She was warned, don't look back. Do not look back. But she decided that, no, I much prefer the cities that are just about to be destroyed. I much prefer that. Which is why I say this, my second point. This is truly the madness of a soul that is outside of Christ. You've got a city that's about to be flattened by fire and brimstone. And yet she wanted to turn back. Amazing. But don't pour scorn on Lot's wife. This is truly a picture of a soul that is outside of Jesus Christ. Now, if you are a Christian this evening, you know exactly what your life will be like if you are not in Christ. You know that your life will be heading in that same crazy direction towards a burning city. Like in Pilgrim's Progress, still destruction. You know that's where your life will be headed if the Lord Jesus Christ, even by His Spirit, by His power, arrested you in your steps and turned you around to go in the right direction. And you think that this is, even in the book of Ecclesiastes, we read that this is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event to all, yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil. The heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. There is madness in their heart, in the hearts of men, that is full of evil. And we don't need to go very far. We just read the newspapers. If you read the newspapers, just flip into any of the pages and you see that we live in a day and age where society is calling evil good and good evil. As we read in Isaiah chapter 5, there are those who put darkness for light and light for darkness, those that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Just open your newspapers and you know exactly what I'm saying is true. There is a certain madness in a soul or souls that are outside of Christ. Just in this past 2 months before we came down to East Sussex, just look at the headlines: assisted dying bill to be lodged in the Scottish Parliament. That was in June. You know about this euthanasia bill that is being discussed at the moment. And just last month, well, just a few weeks ago, in 30th of July, we read that drug deaths in Scotland reach a new record level. Scotland is now the drug country of Europe. Is that madness? People seem to think that is quite normal and everything is A-okay. Even though some of the crazy things that is going on in this day and age that we live in. And you may have heard about a case in Stirling, in Scotland, of the man who was fired as a CEO of a charity trust. He was fired simply because somebody found out that he was an elder in the Free Church of Scotland, a denomination that upholds the biblical teaching of marriage between a man and a woman. He wasn't underperforming in his duties as a CEO. He wasn't stealing from the fund. He wasn't even going around berating people about what marriage is all about. All that happened is they found out that he was an elder in the church, and that got him fired. Well, you know that he won the case, but there is a certain madness. People are just itching to almost like to get Christians. But there is the madness of a soul that is outside of Christ. Richard Baxter puts it this way: I entreat you to seriously consider what a vain world this is, and how shortly it will leave you in a cold grave and to everlasting misery if you will continue to treasure it. And imagine what it is to live in the presence of God and to reign with Christ and to be like the angels, and that this is the life that Christ purchased for you and is preparing for you and offers you if you only accept it. And think, wouldn't it be madness? Wouldn't it be madness to disregard such an endless glory and to prefer the things of the flesh and earthly pleasures? Just think about it, this was spoken hundreds of years ago and yet it's so fresh even to today. We do live in a very vain world, and why do we want to continue if you are not a Christian? Why do we should continue in this vain world where it will leave you soon in a cold grave and with everlasting misery? But for those who are Christians, you know what it means to live in the presence of God. You know what it means to live with Christ. You know what it means to live in a life that Christ has purchased for you. And you are looking forward to the greater glory to come, the place that He's preparing for you even now. So if you're outside of Christ, why do you wish to choose this life in this sin-stricken world, in this mad world that we live in? And that comes to my third point, the remedy for our plight. The remedy for our plight. And of course, it's very important if you're not a Christian that you need to repent and believe in the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, came down into this world, born and lived a sinless, perfect life, and went to the cross of Calvary to die in the room instead of sinners. And if we believe in Him and we repent of our sins and we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we will be a Christian and we will be on that straight and narrow path that leads straight to glory. Remember, Lot's wife tells us a few things about the remedy of our plight. Remember, Lot's wife tells us what we should not be doing. Not just what we should be doing, but also what we should not be doing. We read in just the next verse, literally in the next verse, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Evidently, these two are closely linked. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Now, what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying is not about suicide, and it's certainly not about courting martyrdom, which is something that the early church did advocate. That it's good to be a martyr, so much like you're a better saint or that one up in your Christian faith. No, that's not what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. He's speaking about giving our lives totally and wholly to Him. Total commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we read in the parallel passage in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus Christ said this: he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. For my sake shall find it. It's about giving our lives totally to the Lord, doing all for the sake of Christ and for His kingdom. And yes, if Christians lose their lives because of they giving their lives over to Christ and His kingdom, and they lose their lives because of that, that's the way it is. That's how Christ intended it to be. So we pray for the persecuted church, we pray for persecuted Christians, because we know that it is the Lord. He knows best. But like I said, it's not about suicide, it's not about seeking martyrdom for the sake of becoming some super Christians, but it's about giving ourselves wholly to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll just continue from that quote I mentioned earlier from Richard Baxter, who said this: when you are alone, give yourselves over to these thoughts and let them occupy your mind. I ask that you will accept this gift without any more delay. And this Savior, Jesus Christ, close, unite with the Lord Jesus Christ, who offers you this eternal life. Joyfully and thankfully accept His offer as the only way to happiness, in the belief that all your sins will be forgiven by Him. So what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying is, with regards to Lot's wife, in the context here, that she wanted her temporal and earthly life. She wanted her earthly comforts. She wanted her earthly security. And she had very little concern or regard for the things of God, which is what Lot was pursuing and what Lot was moving in that direction. She wanted the life of Sodom and Gomorrah, that earthly life, that temporal life. And by doing so, we read, she wanted to save her life, she lost it. She wanted to save her earthly life and her earthly comforts and her earthly security with no regard for the things of God, and she ended up losing it all. And it's the same with us. It's the same with us. Certainly for a Christian, that shouldn't be the case. We should not desire to save our earthly comforts and security. Our life as a Christian, we should be pursuing Christ. We should be looking forward to that eternal life in heaven with Him. We should be willing, yes, willing to risk or even lose some of our so-called creature comforts for the sake of Christ and His cause. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. We shall find life everlasting, heaven, with Christ. And that's what we should be aiming towards. That should be our goal in life. That should be our great desire for those of us who call ourselves Christians. So that these few thoughts this evening, remember Lot's wife. We need constant reminders. Remember Lot's wife. We need to remember that there is a God, there is Christ, there is salvation, there is glory to come. There is also the madness of a soul outside of Christ. How could Lot's wife not see what was happening or what was going to happen? She was told, she was warned. But yet, she disregarded it. Just like in the days of Noah, just like in the days of Lot, and soon just like in this day and age, where men and women are ignoring the things of God and neglecting the things of God, they're not listening. There is a certain madness, and we must pray, we must seek to bring the gospel to those who are outside the kingdom of God. And the last point is the remedy: to trust in the Lord, to seek Him, to find Him. And for those of us as Christians, we should continue that path to glory. Well, may the Lord help us in these few thoughts, in this very short verse, three words only, should remember it: remember Lot's wife. May the Lord add His blessing to this, to His own word.